Welcome to the Views Podcast with your hosts, Nate Farmer Eden and Cole Farrell. Get ready to move even closer to financial freedom as they reveal the real estate investing strategies you need to acquire assets you can cash flow or flip. Now, let's get into today's show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Amazing to have you all here. I'm your co-host, Nate Farmer Eden. Allow me to introduce the other and my counterpart here. Cole, how we doing, brother?
Nothing much. How you holding up?
Man, it's been a long day.
It's been a long couple weeks.
Holy cow. I mean, coming back, going into the new year, I mean, we hit the ground running. We set our goals. We set our rocks. And I mean, the view, if I can say so, looks bright. I mean, I'm very excited.
It looks good. I'm excited. I mean, 2024 is going to be a huge year. We got giant goals to accomplish. We have plans and steps to hit them. So now it's just a matter of doing it. So excited.
Action items. But enough about us. Reason we're here, the reason we're doing this again today is because we are going to interview the one and only Christian Jones. Christian, how you doing, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hello.
How we doing?
Doing well. Looking forward to 2024 and kind of getting back into the routine of things after the holidays and all that craziness. So yeah.
Love it. Well, Christian, before we jump into your story and who you are and everything, I want to hit a couple quick housekeeping items. First, for everybody, if you can please leave us a rating and review, we can help grow and educate others. We would appreciate that. Second, please subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And third, of course, please buckle up because we're going to have a good ass time.
Hey, let's do it. I'm excited. All right. So, Christian, now that you're here on Views, got to ask you, man, why real estate? What got you here? What brought you here? Tell us a little about yourself.
I guess you always hear these like dreams of these people who are financially free, and they typically you hear people did it through real estate. So it was a dream that I had from being, you know, a high school kid, and never thought I'd be able to do it, you know. So I took a completely different route, and I got into fixing cars for a long time. So I did paintless dent removal for just shy of 8 years. It was a cool business. I did that for a long time. Ran that business for about 8 years. And wow. And just decided one day I didn't want to do it anymore.
Love that. So tell us more. So you're into the construction, the real estate world. What does that look like?
What do you got? Like kind of how I got into it, or?
Yeah. How you got into it and where you're at now.
Yeah, I guess. So, I run in the PDR business for 8 years. I just came home one day and told my wife, hey, at the end of the month, we're going to move to South Carolina. And I'm not doing this anymore, you know, and that's all I knew. So at that point I built the business. It was a decent business. So like we were doing like, I don't know, I was doing $7,000-$8,000 a week. So it was like somewhere in the ballpark of $30,000 a month by myself. And it was like, the business was great, but I worked, I did like 70, 80 hour weeks. And so it was getting to that point where I was like, if I don't stop doing this, I'm probably going to die doing it, because I made good money, but then I just spent it all. So we moved, and I'd never done any real estate really, aside from being a renter myself and you know, buying a house, and that was pretty much the gist of it. So moved here. My first event was Tim Vitale's I forget what it was called, but the Porsche driving experience event in Atlanta. And that event was like, changed my perspective on everything, right? Like you get around people that are going where you want to go, or already like a lot further along that journey. And they're like, what are you worried about? You know, like, oh, okay. So it's not scary. Okay. Cause up until that point, it was like, it was pretty scary. So, yeah. Mainly I focus on like commercial, like retail, like flex space, stuff like that now. So
that's awesome. It's funny just because you said about being around people that elevate you, and we're, you know, that's kind of why we have this show. It's why we run the live events. That's why we go to other live events. So the importance of that is just paramount. Tell us more about the asset class you invest in, what you do, why you chose that, how you invest in it, what it looks like, et cetera.
Yeah. So you're always copying people, right? Like I thought I wanted to do multifamily, and that was like, yeah, still is, you know, across the board, everyone talks about multifamily and it's amazing. I love it. But it's just so hard to break into finding any good deals. You know, I don't like the like 5 to 6 year model, like, oh, we can 2x your money in 5 to 6 years. And it's like, damn, it's a long time. Like, you know, I feel like, like getting married to people, you know, it's like, you know, yeah. Love everybody, but like, I don't know, you know, you want to have some choice, you know, some kind of like, it doesn't sound so awesome when you start putting 5 to 6 year timelines on getting paid. I'm not rich. So like, I'm like, I need to get paid before then. Like this isn't, I don't have 5 to 6 years to wait for this. So, I got into commercial retail, primarily like shopping centers, plazas, things like that. Done a couple of like flex stuff. Like it's weird. Like redevelopment stuff, like turning, you know, properties into retail plazas. So actually getting ready to close in February on like the first plaza. It's a 16 unit, 17,000 square feet.
Wow. Huge congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. You know, always working through the final details, raising the last bit of money, you know, all the fun stuff. But yeah, man, it's been quite a journey and you meet people, you know, so you meet people and people are in different spaces and you're like, why are you there? And then you start doing some like digging and you kind of bug them every once in a while and they finally spill the beans and you're like, oh, that makes sense. Like, cause you make a lot of fucking money there. Okay. Well, let me see how I could possibly do that. So
Trying to piggyback off of your idea. See, I love that. And I love exactly, I mean, taking it from what you were working on, making 7 to 8K weekly. Of course, you were, that seems a little bit more like transactional where you're trading the time in for the money and you were like, it's time for a change, babe. We got to go. So you decided to take a leap of faith, jump into something brand new. But I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. You were able to connect with folks like-minded thinkers and be able to kind of develop a plan from there. So hats off to you, man. I'm super excited. I want to have you back definitely for February as well, or a little bit after everything's wrapped up so we can hear about it, man. It's going to be amazing. You got this. But one question of course. One question I had for you, though, making that transition, of course, couldn't have been easy. And now that you're in this space, somewhere in between there, tell me about some of the challenges and struggles that you faced, rather be on the front end of what you've got going on now, the transitional period, or just in general on the construction side. Fill us in.
I mean, I guess the biggest challenge is just going broke, you know, like not having income. It's different, you know, you go from, I made that much money, like all the time. I never took vacations. I never did anything. I worked every week, no matter what. So going from having that like steady income to nothing, it was different for sure. I have two kids and my wife and like, yeah. It was definitely a huge change. You know, I always used to drive in like brand new trucks and, you know, I drive a Prius now and I'm like, man, you know, I drove when I first moved to Columbia, South Carolina, I had a big old lifted, you know, 2500 Ram, and now I drive a Prius and it's like, this is crazy, man. But like, you gotta sell stuff. Like I literally sold cars. When we moved, I had like 15 cars. And so we sold like most of them in California and sold our house and like literally just saved everything. And we've lived off of it for probably until like November, beginning of November. We left June. We got here June of 22. And so until November of 23 is like the first time like we actually seen income, like anything. So it was, it got, there was like a few times where it was like, whew, you know, I have some good friends and like, you know, I can call like, hey, Zach, hey, can I borrow like 10 grand really quick?
It's part of the journey. That's crazy. All right, wait, quick sidebar. What was your favorite car you had?
I had a E63, AMG Mercedes.
I'm a big car guy, so it's funny.
V8s are fun.
Yeah, your story I can relate to. You know, just having the cars, having lifted truck. When I was just getting into real estate, my old car was just this beater that I grew up with, yada yada. And I finally made some money and saved up, and I was like, I'm gonna go get this sports car. I wanted a M3 06. It was like a collector car. So excited.
Oh yeah.
Had an appointment, had a deposit. Yeah. Oh my god, it was a dream car. And I was supposed to go there and get it this day after that I was having this thought. And then I remember the night before, I was just like, I'm buying these rental properties. I don't know what I'm doing. I have no way to get drywall tools, whatever. I don't know anybody. And it was just that thought of like, what the hell am I doing? Called them up, canceled it, went and bought a truck the next week. And like, best decision ever made. But at the time, right. It's a bummer.
It is at first, and then you like drive the Prius, and I'm like, this is probably the best car I ever owned, actually, because it's the only one I never worked on. It's the only one I didn't get some crazy bill, you know, broke down on me somewhere, and you know, like every car I've ever had, I had tons of problems. That Ram, I blew like 3 head gaskets in that truck, so you know, just
that's a shame. So let me ask you this then. I know earlier you said you're working on the property, you're working on raising a little bit of money. So how do you fund things now? Is it a mixture of things? Is it syndication style? Is it JV? What does it look like?
So primarily JV right now. The deals haven't really been, the raise hasn't been big enough really to warrant like a syndication. It just costs a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you're raising, you know, $1 million, then it doesn't really make a ton of sense. If you're at like 500,000-600,000, you can JV that, you know, get a handful of people in the deal and figure it out. So it's really been like just networking, right? Like that's like the biggest thing is just going and talking to a bunch of people and providing a ton of value. So mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Like I look at other people's deals and I see people getting a lot more equity for like less work in the deal. But like, I want the deal to like be amazing. So like, I always kind of take the forefront and like whatever needs to get done or whatever, I'll go there. I'll go do it, whatever, you know. And they're all the deals are in my backyard. So they're like 15 minutes away from my house. So.
Oh, that is literally like your backyard. Wow.
Yeah. So this next plaza is I'm at my office now. It's one exit down from my office. It's literally like, it's right here. So when things need to like happen, like I just go do it, but, it does take a ton of time, right? Like, you know, there's like, you start looking at the time, you're like, wow, you know, but all my partners have been amazing. Like it's crazy. Cause you learn so much from people like, and going in and working the deals is like the part that most people like don't like, I guess, but I feel like I've learned so much doing that, going and negotiating with sellers. Like I pretty much handle all the contracts, all the negotiations. And then like my wife does, I would say like 90% of the leasing. I help a little bit, but not really. Like she does most of it. It's been quite an amazing journey.
So are these like triple nets?
Right. Yeah. So we're leasing agent, you know, she's like essentially a leasing agent. There's property management. It's some of the properties, it's like weird, you know, you run into deals where you're like, okay, well, we can split all the electrical meters. It's going to cost us like 25 grand, or we can just split the bills up. So like the, you know, like that's kind of like the paperwork every month is like splitting all the bills up and making sure we're dividing that up equally. So
love that question before I jump into the next question. So with these, are you then targeting things that are like value add, and then you go in and then you've got like a construction crew that does work? Are you looking for things that are already done and you can just, so where's your niche? What's the bread and butter there?
Kind of a little bit of everything, right? Like, I mean, definitely a ton of value add, whether it's through renovations, whether it's through, loss to lease, you know, it's a bit of both, right? Like, every property has been both. Like, I haven't done one deal, but that's where you get like what I'm really shooting for is in the like 12 to 24 month. I want a 2 to 3x of capital.
Wow.
And so to do that, like you have to run multiple tracks. So it gets like a little bit like there's a bit of work to do, right? Like the deal we're working on now, Hardin Street, will be 550, 600 grand into renovations on a 12,000 square foot property. But through like purchasing it, we signed leases and like we're at right around 75% occupancy, 70%. And we haven't even finished construction. So like, that's the goal. Like the one I was telling you about, the 17,000 square foot, we just signed a lease for 3 units. So we're at like almost 80% occupancy and we haven't even closed. So that's really like the goal. So, you know, and again, the things I've learned, right? Like from other people, like I always steal, you know, bits and pieces. Chris, he's like the visionary behind a lot of the deals and he always draws up these renderings and then sends them off. And so like, I just copy, you know, like, so like this deal, you know, we're doing a handful of deals. So he's busy. He's like remodeling his house and a bunch of stuff. So, you know, go and like get renderings done and, you know, kind of just do the same thing, right? Like, I'm just like, it worked. I was able to market the property early. We got a ton of interest. So by the time we were even ready to sign, and then like this contract, I put in the contract that we can sign leases, dated for, you know, after we close, whatever. And so we literally can sign leases. The owner's fine with it. He lets me walk potential tenants through the property whenever. Like it's been awesome.
Really. Dude, that's genius. So
just
man.
Getting a jump start on our occupancy, things like that.
Hey, it makes it all the more easy though, the moment you close, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then when we're doing renovations, we know exactly what they might want for TI. So we can budget for that in our entire budget. We don't have to like, you know, catch these like random curveballs that you do with triple net.
Yeah, dude, that is amazing. So, okay, let me back it up. I love that you guys are forward thinking. I love how innovative the process is, being able to find kind of that delta variant in like loss to lease or value add. But before all that happened, how do you figure out what market? It sounded like you were living in, I believe you said California, you moved states. And then why did you move states and what made you decide to choose that specific market? And do you only invest in your backyard or are you also thinking elsewhere?
So initially it was like the thought was like, if I was going to move and do all this, I wanted like the best opportunity to be successful at it. Right. Like, you know, it's, yeah. I mean, and I'm kind of into guns now. So like, if I had to go pick a gun to like, go protect myself, I'm going to go get a Glock or an AK-47, you know, like hands down. So like, I was looking for one of those like reliable, just like point and shoot. And Columbia, we only looked here, right? Like we only flew here and we came and we're like, this is it. It's like exactly what we're looking for. Somewhere that's like 10 years behind everywhere else that we've been. And Columbia like checked all the boxes and it's it's been true to that. Like, there's been plenty of opportunities that it's like, there's no point to, like, right now we're kind of getting to that point where it's, you know, I have a small team of people that are looking for deals in the, I would say the Southeast. We're up in like North Carolina a bit, Tennessee, you know, Georgia, Alabama, a little bit in like, you know, Northern Florida, but yeah. Yeah. So definitely still focusing quite a bit in Columbia. I just walked another 17,000 square foot plaza today, that the seller's looking to sell it. So, this one is not one that I found off market, but, from a broker, but yeah, yeah, still a great deal. And
that's awesome. They might even
want to do like some seller financing on it. So it seems like they're pretty motivated.
I'm excited to hear some more details on that. And you can expand on it here, but another thing I'm thinking about is, so you saved up money, you made your transition to Columbia, and you said, you know, you were working through funding and working in the real estate and doing that stuff through that whole period. And even now, how do you manage risk, whether it's with partners, yourself, your family? How do you put it all on the line yet still manage?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if I have an answer to that. Like, I don't know if I manage it, you know, like, I think it's just like every day you're just like, I risk everything.
Like, entrepreneur's life.
Right. Like, but I like the, like, it's different. I feel like the difference in entrepreneurship is when you risk it, it's your fault if it's a risk. So it's like, I can turn the tables, you know, I can do something different. There's something I can affect that I can change that risk. And so, it's definitely scary. So like this deal I'm working on now, we were almost closed, and a week before Thanksgiving, I got a call, and, my partner doesn't want to do the deal anymore. I'm like,
oh,
dude, it's too late. Like, money's been hard for like a month and a half. What do you mean? Like, you know, phase one's done. Every report, survey, Alta survey, like everything's done. Financing is almost done. Like, you know, and it just, you know, just happens. So like within a couple of days, I had to like decide whether I was going to put another 20,000 as EMD or not. And it was like, well, you know, like, I guess I'm just going for it. Why not?
So what happened?
Oh, so I'm still working on the deal. Yeah. So yeah. I put the $20,000 up, the, you know, 3-4 days later, and still working on it. So the deal like completely fell apart. So he was raising the capital for it. It was about 500,000, 550. And yeah, that day it was like back to square one, no financing, no money, no nothing.
A week before close.
No, it was like 3 weeks before closing.
Oh,
wow.
But you still, I mean, it was still like, this is not the news I wanted.
Look, we're 3 weeks before close right now. We're sweating to get it done. It's going through the challenges. So I feel you there.
Yeah. What are you guys working on?
We'll give you a snippet, but we have a 12 unit North Carolina. It's an awesome deal. So we're excited for it. We'll hold the details until it's done just because. Let's see what happens, but we're excited for it. So it's going to be an awesome project.
You guys got this, man.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. And unlike you, a little bit different, a little bit more of a backstory on it. That is not our backyard. I'm in Wisconsin. Cole's in Pennsylvania. So we are just trying to, we're just trying to knock on some doors and get into your market here.
Yeah, man. That's a bit away. So how do you guys manage that? Do you guys fly in and?
Yep, exactly.
Do you guys have like boots on the ground?
Yeah, fly in. We have a partner that's local that helps out with construction, things like that. Fly in for tours, fly in to meet brokers, fly in for closing. It gets a little.
You know our partner, Joao.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, sweet. Yeah, there's, we're a trio.
Oh, sweet, sweet. Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
Part of the gig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That part always scares me, you know. Yeah, I'm like super nervous to move markets. we're trying to figure out like a system that we can still facilitate like the leasing portion of it and be, you know, more remote.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have to move markets, I don't think it's necessarily a great idea. I think it's always better to be in your backyard if you can. I don't speak for Nate, but like there is no backyard where I'm at. It's nearly impossible to find multis. It just doesn't work. So options are leave or don't do deals. So
right.
Do what you got to do.
But right. No, 100%.
On my end, it was just the collaborative piece made the most amount of sense. I have never to this day, and I'm speaking it into existence, we'll never to this day or any day find a team that's better than what we've got now. And because of that, it makes it so easy for us to be able to tackle and conquer whichever markets we decide we want to get into due to like SOPs and like the systems that we have in place to be able to make sure that it makes sense. And then we've got the boots on the ground and we're also vertically integrated. So it's just like here in Wisconsin, I don't have all that. But when you talk to us with like a team, oh, we got it. So right. To me, it was like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That's how it works. You know, it's hard to do. Like, I ran a business for years by myself. So it was a feat to try to get myself to like work with people. And yeah, you know, 'cause I'm like, yeah, I'm the best, you know, I know how to do everything. And
love that. I have one other question before we hit our next segment. You mentioned that you work with your wife, and I think that's absolutely incredible. I think a lot of people are nervous about that, or they're, you know, nervous to kind of do church and state, whatever it may be. How does that work for you? What are some things that led to that being successful? Because I just think that's incredible.
Man, I couldn't have done anything ever without her. So
love it.
Oh, we just celebrated our 7-year anniversary. So when we first got together, so backstory. So she got this job out in Lincoln, California, like 30 minutes from our house, 45 minutes, something like that. And when we first got together and she just gotten the job and she just bought her like first car, we got married. I'm 28. So we got married. I was 21 and she was 19. And awesome. So she just got in this job, bought her first car. And I think I can kind of start growing this business a little bit. And so I kind of like talked her into, so we, for there's like a phase of like a year and a half where I painted cars. So I painted like bumpers and like sides of cars, things like that, mainly like outside. So I was like, you know, like let's buy a van and we're going to like put a compressor in there and all these like paint guns and paint line and Bondo and, you know, and like she was like game, you know. So we sold her car, she quit her job, and we went and we literally just did it, man. We just did it. So
talk about risking for the biscuit. Wow, I love that, dude. That's awesome.
So we worked with like from day one, she's been like my right hand, you know. If I ever need anything, like she's like, okay. I'm pulling the transmission out of, because I did a lot of drifting in California. Ooh. So I built a bunch of Mustangs and did a bunch of rock crawling. So I'm like, our backyard was always a, you know, mechanic shop. So, you know, pulling motors out of cars and all, just whatever you name it, like we did it back there. So yeah. I'm under the truck, you know, pulling transmission out and I'm like, hey babe, I need, you know, like it's falling on me. She's out there in 2 seconds, you know, helping drag it off of me. So
hit me the 10 mil.
Right. Oh man, shit, the elusive 10 mil.
I love it. All right, Nate, what are you thinking?
I think he's ready for it. I don't know. We got a surprise for you. I think he's ready. I think he's got this. I mean, this has been phenomenal so far.
All right. We'll see if he is. We're gonna ask you a point of view questions. We ask these to every guest. You can answer them however you like, short, long, whatever. Here we go. What separates top performing investors from the rest of the crowd?
Can you say that again?
What separates top performing investors from the rest of the crowd?
I'm going to steal this from Andrew Tate. Perspicacity. No, just the willingness to like risk it all and really like make it happen. Love like it. Set your mind and like, this is what I'm going to do and get it done. I don't think there's any secret. Like, I feel like in life, like nobody's special, like, you know,
yeah.
Like, you meet people and you're like, wow, like you're really not the as smart as I thought you were going to be, you know, like,
wow.
And like, how much you guys are on the way to like $500 million. Like, really? Like, like, all right. Like I'm in, you know, I'm in. You know, like I really thoroughly believe like nobody's special. Nobody, there's no special formula. There's no special sauce. There's like, it's nothing, man. Just some people went after it with everything they got and said like, I'm going to do this. So or I'm going to die.
Mm. Love that. What's a daily habit that's contributed to your personal success?
The gym.
Yeah. Love it.
That's been, yeah. Just do something that sucks every day. You know?
That's good.
Something that you don't want to do and it like sets the tone. So I go to the gym at like, I don't get there until like 3:45, 4 o'clock in the morning. But like, you know, you start the day off with that and it's like the whole day is easier.
You say that like it's late in the morning. You're like, I don't get there at all. 4 a.m.? Amazing.
Well, I mean, I've been doing it for like a year now, so it's like, and I'm saying it really like nonchalantly now because I haven't done it for like a week.
So. It's the holidays. It's fine. It's fine.
Right.
It's all good. You'll get it back.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Give me a piece of advice that you would give to yourself if you were starting out again.
Do it faster. Whatever you're gonna do, just get on it. Don't wait.
Love it. What's one of your favorite real estate or business books?
One that I feel like I've read like too many times is Never Split the Difference. I feel like that book like really, I do a lot of like talking, kind of like negotiating with sellers and so tenants, you know, things like that. So knowing how to like formulate sentences and how to essentially like, you have to know how to influence people, right? Like making friends, you know, anything. It's like, I don't know. It's not always about you. And that book really like puts that into perspective, that it's nobody cares about you. You know, like if you're not solving their problem, then next, you know.
Yeah.
All right, last question for you. What is the biggest non-monetary benefit that you've gotten from real estate investing?
Non-monetary.
Oh, we stumped you.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess just doing something that I can't do myself. Like there's so much work that goes into it that I couldn't possibly do it myself. That's been huge because the business that I had before, it was just me. It was me in a truck showing up to people's houses, dealerships, fixing cars all day. So like forcing myself to actually start learning how to run a business.
Awesome. Love it.
Beautiful answer. It. That was it. You survived it.
Man, you guys have me scared.
No, man. We just wanted to put you to the test here. You passed with flying colors. It was awesome.
All right, cool. That was good, though.
Appreciate it.
You know, in all actuality, and I wanted to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We greatly appreciate you coming on. Greatly appreciate you giving us some insight into everything that you've been through to sort of transition, hearing about packing up, babe, we're moving, let's go. And now, I mean, you've built what is turning into be like an empire, man. And my hat's off to you. I mean, you walked a 17,000 unit or square foot unit today. You're closing something coming up in February. I mean, amazing, dude. Hats off. And you went from doing this from cars to, hey, let me go and see this car show that these guys are putting on. Oh, there's a whole nother world of real estate going on over here. Oh, this is what you guys are doing? And then you took that, implemented it, found yourself some partners. Even after somebody decided to back out, still pushed through, prevailed, and getting stuff done, man. Crazy.
Awesome. So let me ask you this. Any last minute nuggets, thoughts, gems, advice, anything?
I would say if anybody out there is watching and thinks that this stuff is like out of this world and it's you know, not for them and they could never do it, like, you're right. You can't, you know? Yeah, because if that's your mindset, then you can't. It's all about your mindset. Like I said before, nobody is special. No one is special. The only difference between people that are successful and the people that aren't, the people that are successful woke up and tried to be successful every day. And the people who aren't gave up, you know, like they didn't try.
I guess so good. That's the secret.
So oh, good. Man. Brilliant. I love that. So for everybody that's listening, everybody that's watching, Christian Jones, ladies and gentlemen, he's an amazing man. All of his social medias, all of his handles will be in the link in the description below. Give us a like, thumbs up, write a comment, and we're looking forward to seeing everybody on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Views. If you enjoyed today's show, take a second to hit the like button. And if you haven't already, subscribe to our channel so you never miss an episode. Until next time, peace and love.